Blog Talk Radio.
Whatever you're in tonight, you can come out. You say, sister, how do I get out? Praise your way out. Can I get somebody to praise your way out? You might be sitting next to somebody that may not need a miracle, but tell them, I have an emergency. I gotta praise my way out. Oh, glory. Come on, I tried it and it works. He breaks every fetter. That's why I don't care how long it takes. I don't mind waiting. Now, I don't think you heard what I said. I don't care how long it takes. If it takes him 20 years, because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So guess what? I'm not just waiting on God. I'm waiting in God. Because I know he holds my destiny. And the Bible said he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come. Somebody just start shouting if you know that he's making a way for you to come out. Hey. Oh. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Early one morning in 5 a.m. prayer, I had finished the prayer on Tuesday morning, and I had raised the sacrificial offering. And the presence of the Lord filled the room. And I was going through a mighty trial at the time. And the Spirit of the Lord dropped these words and this song in my spirit. And I just started singing. And it has become my anthem. And when I can't see my way out of a situation, and the devil trying to make me frustrated because it looks like God ain't moving, I turn around and tell the devil, I don't mind waiting. Somebody just start shouting that. Shout it back in the face of the enemy. Let the devil know that whatever you tried, it ain't gonna work, because I don't mind waiting. Dr. Panion.
Father God, we thank you each and every time we come before your throne. Lord, release the word of the anointing on this house tonight in the name of Jesus. We declare, Lord, we disdain, we denounce, we blow up, and we shut out every form of every soothsaying spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come against every unauthorized, and we shut down every unauthorized force. And we release the angelic force of the angels to come into command and declare and decree to lift up, to move this word on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak a word according to the Spirit, that even as we begin to line up according to the blood, I know that through you, Father God, everything and all things has already been done. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne, knowing that through you, Father God, that everything that I speak out of my mouth is not of myself, but through the Spirit. Lord, I'm asking you to move, Lord, in such a powerful and prophetic way tonight. Let this word be released, Father God, and every negative tongue that speaks out against it, Father God, we capture it in the name of Jesus. We imprison the mind of every individual that speak out against that what you call this ministry to be. And Lord, we release them through the love of the Spirit, that they may be turned, transformed, and changed, and developing who you want them to be, that they may go out, Father God, and begin to minister the word to those who are lost. Father God, we release the power of the presence right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. I disdain and tear down every form of witchcraft, every form of sissies, every form of any kind of blood disorder, any kind of form of any kind of witchcraft. Lord, I loose it in the name of Jesus. And I bring it under the function of the power, the function of the Holy Spirit. And I declare by the word of God and through the power of the manifestation of the power of God that you begin to release, Lord. You begin to transform. You begin to change. You begin to declare that which you are called from the kingdom. Lord, I rise, Father God, and I take authority in the name of Jesus, Father God, over this word, over this session, over this hour. And I ask you to cover me, Father God, even as you cover my co-pastor, my wife, Pastor Patty Ellis, in the name of Jesus. You continue to give her the utterance of the Spirit as she speaks in the illumination of the corresponding of this word. Father God, let us come together and produce a force, Father God, will bust the very glass of the ceiling, that you will release us, Father God, into a new level of playing field, that we'll come down, Father God, and equalize that which is above the playing field and knock the sphere of everything out of the way, Father God, that we may be released that which you have for us to do on tonight, Father God. I release every porthole of the kingdom, and I shut down every blocked entrance, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And I call your word to move like power, like whirlwind, like the speed of water, Father God, rushing through the very ocean, Father God. I thank you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, as I declare and decree this word on tonight, that it be a word straight from the kingdom of God, knowing through you, Father God, that no weapon, not one, will be formed against us to prosper, Lord. I cleave the tongue of every negative soothsayer to the top of their head, Father God, that they be hushed in the midst of what you're about to do on tonight. Father God, I thank you for the gratitude, the opportunity to come and preach your word, to minister and teach your word to your people, not man, but your people, Father God. Not that we come into the conform of any kind of edifice, Father God, any kind of bricks and mortar, but we speak wildly through the Spirit that we declare on this day, Father God, on this night, it be a word that be marked in the kingdom, Father God, and etched in the minds of every man and every boy and every child. These things we speak not of ourselves, but of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray, Lord, amen, amen, and amen. Once again, I thank you for joining us here at Power of the Harvest radio station here at Blog Talk Internet Radio. And we thank you for tuning in on tonight as I see the lines begin to light up. I ask you to continue to keep yourselves at bay as the word come forth tonight, but we will occupy time for those who to come in later in the show and be able to cast their words about what they're speaking in terms of what they think about this particular series that we've been teaching on. But those of you who know, before we get started, we want to let you know we're going to be in the book of Ephesians 4. We left out the later part of chapter 3, but we're going to catch the tail end of that. We're going to move right over in to Ephesians chapter 4. Just want to bring some information for the for those of you, excuse me, who are coming on the line. I am Pastor Charles Ellis, along with my co-pastor, Pastor Patty Ellis, here at Harvest New Life Church, which has this radio show, which is called Power of the Harvest, which we're going to be moving the segment to what we call audio here in just a few weeks. We've been running into some difficulties, but we believe God is about to release that prophetic utterance that he's called to do in his ministry in the name of Jesus. It's about to take off nationwide. And we believe that in the name of Jesus. But I want to bring a word to you also that this Sunday we'll be over at 2521 at Brigham Lane over there with Dr. Isa Preston here in the city of Dallas. That's 25. If I got it right, I believe I'm right. That's the biggest 25. I check my notes here and make sure I'm on target with everything, because I know my wife is usually good at correcting me on these particular places. But it's 2521, which I am right, Brigham Lane. And that's going to be Trinity Baptist Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. For those of you who will be joining us on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, can come in and do so. Our website here at Harvest New Life Church is, what we just said, harvestnewlifechurch.com. For those of you calling to the studio tonight, there is a number for you to call in if you're going to participate and be a part of the show or just listen in by archives or radio. It really doesn't matter to us. It does matter that you hear the word and you be blessed with what God is doing in this ministry. But the number to call in tonight is 347-637-1074 before we get into this prophetic utterance that God is about to release in this house. We believe that God has got a word to bring for the United in this teaching, and we're going to make sure it's illuminated through the Spirit. Nothing of myself, but everything come through the word of God, that it may impregnate you and you will carry it full term to be delivered at that time that God has it to produce in your life, the fruits that you may have. So we ask you all who's coming into the internet, on the internet phase, as I kind of move here just a minute to get going because we're pushing for time, then go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. If you go to harvestnewlifechurch.com, I want you to go to Schedules and Services. Move down through the page of Schedules and Services, see a bright green icon that's going to say Blog Talk Power Harvest Radio. Click on that. That'll bring you to the internet phase
of the particular service that we're doing tonight. And then that way you'll be able to type in information or prayer requests or whatever you may need, that we continue to hear what what's on your heart, that we may pray for you, that God will release whatever it is that you've been bounded by. And we loose every pin and every thread, every rope. We lay the axe at every root. In the name of Jesus, will hinder anyone from him. That's what the Lord has to say on tonight. We come against every authoritative spirit, every Ahab spirit, every Jezebel spirit, every seducing spirit, every mind lock. We alter the key in the name of Jesus, that you be released and your ears of your the power of the Spirit be open on this night in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As I said before, we're going to look at here in the book of Ephesians, Chapter 3, we want to catch the later part of chapter 3. As I turn here in my Bible, we want to make sure we're on course with everything. We left off in the area of Ephesians chapter 3 and 19, and it was speaking about knowing that the love of Christ that passes the knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. We're talking about the Godhead. We're talking about the fullness of God. I mean, when you're unpenetratable to what the evil presence that has been in your life. Every negative thing that the enemy tried to plan against you has already been cast down. Because now Jeremiah 29:11 comes into effect, that now the power that God has given you, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you are now a new creature. In the process of being a new creature, God has given you the gift of knowing that the love of Christ, which surpasses the knowledge, and that you might be full with the fullness of God. I'm talking about the presence and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It goes on and said, now to him who is able, listen to what he says, who is able to do it exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can think or ask. Or think or ask according to what? The power that worketh in us. Now, this is something God is speaking in terms of what we're going to be in the area of book of Ephesians 1 and 21. You go back to Ephesians 1 and 21, it talks about far above all principalities, powers, and dominion. And it speaks about only not only of this world, but everything that which is to come. I mean, God, when you come into the presence of the Spirit and you give your life to Christ, even though some of the bad things you had in your past, God says those things have been cast in the sea of forgiveness. From the day you receive Christ, according to Romans 10:8-9, the very confession of your mouth has released the very bonds of the enemy that has you captive all of these years. Whether you were dealing with addictions, whether you were dealing with witchcraft, whether you were dealing with sexual immorality, whether you were dealing with heresy, doesn't really matter. The Bible declares and decrees, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that any man that be in, you got to get in there to receive the benefits of Christ, to be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, everything and all things are passed away. Well, Pastor Ellis, what are you saying? All your negative activities, everything that the enemy tried to keep you bound and binded by, you got the power through God, according to Romans 4:17, to disdain and blow up every negative thought, to lay the axe to every root, according to Ephesians 6:10, that we take up the power of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we begin to lay the axe to every negative thing that ever happened in our life. I mean, our mind is renewed. Our minds begin to be transformed. Our minds begin to be changed according to the power and the Spirit of God. And know that through him that everything and all things are possible, because now we become believers in Christ. Knowing that through him everything and all things are possible. I'm not talking to anybody this afternoon. Where it goes on and says is the last part of Ephesians 3, and it says over there in the 21st verse, unto him be the glory, the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages in the world without an end. Amen. Meaning that God said before time was even began, you was orchestrated and declared and decreed that has been a past set for you. The word declares and it decrees in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, for I don't know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Not only that, he speaks about the beginning of Jeremiah 1:5. He said, before you was even born, God said, I knew the plans, I knew the things, I implemented the gift in you to orchestrate and genetically engineered you to walk the course in terms of what seems to be difficult, but my mercy and grace was always there to withhold you from the bands of the enemy. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon. I want to know that God is in the house and he's about to release some words in the spirit that's about to jolt your spirit in terms of what we're preaching about here tonight. In the name of Jesus, where we go over here, we're going right over to Ephesians chapter 4. And as we go through Ephesians chapter 4, he starts the same process as he started over in Ephesians 3. He said, therefore, I'm Paul, a prisoner. Now you got to listen to this real carefully because God speaks something very strong here. He said, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And you read verse 1 of the book chapter 3 of this particular epistle in the book of Ephesians. He said, for this is I, Paul, the prisoner. And he goes on and speaks again about the imprisonment. You got to really catch it, really rolling through it and giving something unedificacious, that's not going to release you to understand what he's saying. That whenever you're a prisoner of anything, God has already decreed a plan on your life because he knows that through mercy and grace, he's got the keys to unlock every demonic plan that the enemy has set for your life. Paul, even in prison, proved the fact that even when he writes this epistle, which is in the book of Ephesians, a book of Ephesians period, he's in prison and been held under authority of what you call the physicality of the people who did not want to hear what the word of God had to bring to the house of God. But according to the word of God, he said, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Now he's in the prison with the Lord, meaning even in the midst of who I am right now, I got the power to fight my way, even in the midst of captivity, and so do you. That even when your mind seems to be bombarded by situations, circumstances, and things, people talking and saying things that they ought not to say, God said, even though you're in prison, my mercy and grace has always been sufficient to deliver you for whatever the enemy is trying to hold against you. But Paul begins to speak a prophetic word over in verse 1 and 4. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. Now, that word vocation is a very serious word. It's like a person who comes together and know the area in which realm or which team they're on. Me as a collegiate sports player, I knew what my position was when I played sports. I knew when I ran track. I knew my area and who I am on the job. I know my position. I know my plans. I know the things that God has given me. So my job is to do the best that I can do at the position I am in and not worry about anyone else. In other words, I have to do my part and not worry about what happens with anybody else. If you want to come to church, that's fine. If you want to stay at home, that's fine. If you want to curse and use spicy language all day long, that's fine. But I'm telling you, as a man of God, I'm going to preach this word, and I'm going to live according to what God has called me to do. Because the word of God declares and decrees that no weapon can be formed. When you're walking in your vocation, wherewith you were called, the gift has got to make room. It's got to knock down every negative form. It's got to release every angelic force that ever come against you, and it released the power. All the angels that guide you in the direction where God is coming you and calling you to do. He says over in verse 4 and 2, he said, with all lawlessness, with all meekness and long-suffering. Now look what he said, forbearing one another in love. And he says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity. That word unity comes out of the book of Psalms 133. When Aaron begins to speak the word, how good is it for men to dwell together in what unity? One body, one spirit, one soul. We're talking about the Trinum. We're talking about the power of God, the Godhead, and everything operated according to the book of 1 Corinthians 12. It says in the book of 1 Corinthians 12, and it speaks out, it talks about by the manifestation of the Spirit, he's given each and every one to what the prophet with all, every gift. If everything that God's been given is formed in the body. Just as you look at your body, you got two arms, you got one head, you got two legs, you got two feet, you got two hands. Nothing is fighting against anything. Everything is working in coalition. It'd be different if you had two left arms or two left feet. Matter of fact, it'd be totally different if you had two heads. You would be nothing but a freak. If anybody wouldn't want to deal with you anyhow, they'd probably ask you, what in the hell did you come from? And I need you to go back to hell on which you come, because you can't bring the hell up in here for what we're doing over in this house, because God wanted to be able to deliver you from wherever it is that's calling you to fall short in your area of your life, that you understand there's a vocation in what you're called to do. According to Jeremiah 1 and 5, you have already been predestined and destined to perform that what God has designed for you to do. What am I saying? No weapon can be formed against you. It's got the ability to prosper, and nothing will be able to stand. He goes on and says over here in verse 4, he said, therefore one body one spirit, even as one calling and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Can I talk to somebody this afternoon? I believe the word of God declares when he looks at that very process, he talks about one body, one spirit, one hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of what? All. The body is never entangled. It never comes against one another. It's always genetically engineered to perform every area in what it was designed to do. When before I knew you, God knew how he stitched you together. He knew how he made you. He knew what he made you for. He knew what he gave you the ability to do. He knew what you can handle and what you couldn't handle. But one thing he didn't allow you to do is get into division. That according to John 4:24, I hear the word of God that says spirits talk to spirits. That even when you're outside the spirit of the Lord and you're not lining up with the Holy Spirit, then you're working with a defiled spirit. Because God never called for the church or the body to be in division. He reads on in verse 6, he says, Father, he said, one God, the Father above who was above all things and through all. Now listen to what it said. One God and Father of all. He said A-L-L. That means that's plural, that's everything. Who is above all and through all and in you all. In other words, greater than he that is in you, the he that is in the world. He didn't give you two different types of spirits, even though we have two different things we fight against, according to Galatians 5:16. He talks about the flesh that wrestles against the spirit and the spirit that wrestles against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another, meaning the evil deeds that we have come across during the course of the time that we live in our life, the enemy has always had a plan to try to delude and misdirect us in what God has already preordained and called us to do and called us to be. He goes on and speaks a very strong word in verse 8. He said, therefore, he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive. Listen to that. He led captivity captive. When he led captivity captive, he deleted the word of God, and he began to speak the word of God, and he began to say just what he admitted in the combs of the Spirit. He said he left captivity captive. He led everything captive to the obedience of Christ, and he brought it under the subjection of the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now, when he said he led captivity captive, he knew that what he was about to do in the terms of what God is demanding in your life. Now, I want to catch something here. I want you to understand what I'm saying here in terms of this word. Now, when he talks about how he led captivity captive, every evil possession, every evil thought, every demonic spirit that ever tried to come against what God has already preordained and designed and engineered you to do had to come into the function of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said before he ascended, he didn't send it. That means he descended. In other words, he went down and kicked the bottom up out of hell. Amen. He released the captive. I mean, he released everything that was against you. Everything that put a label on you in your life, from health to finances, God has said has already been released according to the Spirit. Now, I want you to understand something right here. These are the ascending part. Maybe before he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, meaning that according to Ephesians 1:21, every demonic force, every demonic demon, every demonic presence has already been routed and wrapped, and it's been declared and decreed to be wrapped in the blood chains of Jesus, sent back to hell in which it come from. This is why the word declares and decrees that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. The word of God declares that you got to take up the sword of the Spirit. You got to take up the helmet of salvation. You got to have the breastplate of righteousness. All of these things that he speaks about in Ephesians 6 and over in Ephesians 5 is ineffective if you don't have an effective prayer life. See, if it's just in your mind, it's not edificacious. Meaning you can't say it if it's just in your mind. You got to utter it out of your mouth for it to take full effect in what God has called it to do. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? I want you to see over here in Ephesians 4:9 as we continue to go to this book of Ephesians, this revelatory word in the season that we're in. I mean, God has given a prophetic utterance in terms of what he's about to do in this ministry on tonight. Look what he says over in Ephesians 4:9. He said, now saying he ascended, what does that mean but that he also descended? First to the lower parts of the pits of the earth, meaning everything that ever tried to come against you, to hold you back, and what God has declared and decreed you to do has already been predestinated and preformed and taken over by what he's done on the cross. I mean, no weapon can be formed, no soothsayer, no negative form or fashion of the Spirit has got the ability to come against you. As the lines begin to light up, I ask that the person at 575, if you haven't been on the show, just hold down a minute because we're going to speak and we're going to give you time to come in at the end of the show and hear what you hear what you have to say. But he goes on and speaks a very word. He goes on down here to the ninth verse, and he says that now he ascended. What does that mean? But he also descended. But when you understand verse 10, he said descended is the same as he ascended up above the heavens, and he might fulfill all things. That means far above all principalities and power, according to Ephesians 1 and 21. That's why we get the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven. It's a how to be what thy name, that every power and every force of angelic angels that have in the kingdom, let it be down here on earth. That means the word of God says no weapon of no kind can come against that what God is the creator and engineered you to be. He goes on and speaks here in the 11th verse. I want to take some time with this. He said he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some teachers. And I want to make so we get the understanding that, and this is what it takes us back to verse 2. He talks about the lawlessness, and the meekness, the long-suffering, the forbearing of one another, and love, endeavoring, he says in verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, meaning that when you come into a fivefold ministry, there's never no division in the body of Christ. Those of you who have ever been involved in any kind of social groups or PTA or whatever it may be, me, I was a collegiate player, as I said before. I knew my role on the field when I got out there. I couldn't go play the quarterback's role. I couldn't go play the linebacker's role. I couldn't play the offensive line role. I knew my position when I was on the field. When God set this fivefold into place, he knew that some of he gave different gifts to each one of them, that they bring forth the edification of the power of the ministry, that it may be a sin. But ladies and gentlemen, what we have today is a whole lot of dissension in the body of Christ. The apostles think they're better than the prophets. The prophets are being down because they got a word and they feel it came from God. The evangelists are not getting outside the walls of the church to do the mission they should do. They want to stay inside the church because they want to be recognized by name rather than the work that they do. We look at the teachers. Some of the teachers say they're called. They get a little word in them. They read the scriptures a little bit. They get a lot of what you call a plethora of scripture. They begin to quote scriptures. They begin to say things what seems right in their own mind. But God said, I never gave it to you because it's just a spiritual thing. The spirit means that when you try to speak outside what God has already delivered and designed for you to have, you're not speaking of God. All you got is just a letter. So your job as a man or woman of God is to walk according to the unity of the power of the Spirit. You know that when God gives you a word, it's already been predestined to come into the hearts. According to John 4:24, that spirits talk to spirit. And the Bible declares in the creed, I hear him say that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That you just can't come with an educational level when you're walking in the realm of the Holy Spirit. You can't get to school and get this. Ain't no nothing wrong with anybody going to school, but you never hear none of the apostles speaking about how they went to the University of Texas or went to the University of Michigan. They went to all these different educational schools. No, the Bible declares in the creed that the word was discerned and wrote through what the power of the Holy Ghost. They gave man the power to utter, to speak those things, to put it in writing. But when we look at the scriptures very closely, we understand that when we come down to that verse, we want to break that up just a little bit and hear what the Lord has to say in that particular verse. Now, he says that the gifts are given to the church. Now, he said the individual, but we done took it on the individual place. Oh, I'm an apostle, or I'm an evangelist, or I'm a pastor, or I'm a bishop. You know, in other words, my Bible is bigger than your Bible. And since your Bible is bigger than my Bible, I'm going to get a bigger Bible. I got oil, so you want to get some oil. Well, I'm going to give me a whole gallon of oil. It becomes competition in the church. And this is what we have in the body of Christ, which has been so divided the way it is right now. The apostle, when you read the word of God, it speaks about the area of the apostle. And I want to read some things to you as I go over to my notes. And like I say, a lot of this stuff is not predetermined, pre-tamed. And I hear from the Spirit of God, he leads me in the direction he needs me to read and teach from. I'm not going to get loud with you. I'm not going to get a big old vein up in the side of my neck and make you feel that you need to hear me from that understanding. But I want you to know that God has called the apostles, a reference to the fact that all who are called to be ministers will be called to be apostles. What are you saying, Pastor Ellis? All are called to be apostles. As a man of God, when I started the church, I had to do it all. Now, some people say you don't have all the gifts, in which you really don't. If God called you to preach, guess what? You got to do the role as a prophet. If God called you to preach, you got to do the role as evangelist. You got to get outside the walls. You got to get people to come to your church. You got to also minister in the area of a pastor. You got to teach the people that when they come into your house and more gifts come in, then you begin to delegate. If there's people who come in with a prophetic understanding to be apostle, then that's the apostle of your house. Your job as a pastor, as a shepherd of the flock, is to get the fivefold moving. If there's an evangelist in the house, and God has called evangelists to come to your house, and guess what? That evangelist is designed to run the ministry to the point that it all comes together to be as one. Now, we're talking about unity. And we're talking about if you can understand these things, you'll understand what it says in Ephesians 2. He said, with all lawlessness and meekness. In other words, when big gifts come together or big players come together, to get a championship role, they got to know how to blend. They know how to deal with one another. No gift outweighs any other gift. No arm is bigger than the other arm, what some people think they are. No foot is more bigger than the other foot, and some people think they are, but even though it may be diametric or inches. We still understand that we got 2 feet. We got a left one, we got a right one. We got the apostle, we got the pastor, we got the prophet, we got the teacher. We got all these men of God coming together to create the fivefold to a full effect. I mean, we hit on all cylinders in the name of Jesus. And then it talks about also some prophets who stand in the office of a prophet. Some people want to be all prophet, but they're not walking in the office of a prophet. It's different from being a prophet and walking in the office of a prophet. He said, thereby following for foretelling. In other words, in the Old Testament, we call them seers. You know, now we got men, you know, you don't want to make sure when you speak words of what I'm speaking, you don't talk down or against anybody. But sometimes we got these paper prophets. Well, you're going to have a baby, or you have a boy, you have a girl. Now, that's not prophesying. Well, God told me you got rheumatism in your body, you know. God told me that you, now, we're talking about something that just we get, most everybody in the United States got a heart condition, a blood disease. Am I talking to anybody? It's not that these things you got is unto death, because the power of God declares it through Paul. What he wanted to throw and take it from his side. My mercy and grace is sufficient. I mean, I made strong of my weakness, that God is able to help you in the midst of whatever you're doing. When you're walking about a true prophet, he foretells the foretelling of what God has given you in your life. In other words, he's a shepherd to gather the harvest. He's a shepherd to he's evangelist. Evangelist is shepherd to, excuse me, I kind of missed that dollar. He stands, we're talking about the prophet now, in the office of a prophet, thereby foretelling the future of what God has given that particular individual in their life. Now, listen to what I'm saying when I'm saying this. Now, God is going to give it to you first. The prophet, all he do is come along and what he does. He actually lines up with the spirit that what God has already given you. Remember, God said, first to you and then to them. In other words, God created you from the womb. He created you in what God designed and engineered you to be. In other words, man don't have the ability to give you a gift. God gives a gift according to Jeremiah 1:5. He said he gave you. He said before he formed you, he knew you. He knew you before you was in your mother's womb. And what we have sometime in the body of Christ, and it may line up accordingly, and I've seen it take place in so many ministries, that you don't live off the prophecy, but you understand that God is leading you to go in the direction. And the prophecy never dies. It never carries an expiration date. But according to what God has given you, you ought to go home and get on your knees and begin to pray and ask God if this is what he revealed to you in some of the showings he's been telling you in your visions, in your dreams. God's going to give it to you. But you got to understand when a prophet comes to line up what you have been dreaming and having in your life, it aligns up with the spirit. And when it begins to line up in the spirit, God begins to okay it to the point that now you're lining up according to the word of God. Psalm 133 says again that we all have to dwell together in unity. We go back over the book, the same repeat, but a different manner in Ephesians 4:2. He talks about the lawlessness and the meekness, the long-suffering, the forbearing, the one another. He talks about the love, the endeavoring to keep the unity. Unity. If you're going to walk in the fivefold ministry, you got to understand the gifts in the house that cause it to move forward and push to what God has engineered and designed it to be. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? Well, we're going to go and continue to keep going on down. We're going to get in the area of just looking up the evangelistic part of the ministry, to gather the harvest. The Bible declares that the harvest is truly great, but the labors are few. And what we have right now is everybody want to be on the forefront of the ministry, rather than going outside the walls and doing the work. Any ministry that doesn't have evangelistic ministry will die. Anything that refuses to change or recycle will die. Am I speaking about if you have water standing still that never moves, it becomes stale. You got to continue to move people in and out of the house of God. You got to continue to bring forth the gifts that's out there in the world that may come in and be developed of what God has put in them, according to Jeremiah 1:5. He said he formed every one of us. You know, we all got a spirit, and that spirit has given us the opportunity to be advanced with the gift that God has put in us. And every one of us has got a beacon system. The word declares and decreed is not God's will that now one be plucked out. So what are you out there doing dope? So what are you out there in the streets? So what are you out there doing things they ought not to be doing? He still got a gift according to what God has put in them. You can never get so high in the church to a point that you feel that you're above the law of God, that you don't feel that you need to go back and get those who are outside the body of Christ because of the way they look or what color they are or what kind of clothes they got, what kind of house they live in or where they're at right now. You may see a beggar on the street, but God may be just testing you to understand that you all might want to give up to that person, give them a card, and tell them to come to church. You ain't got to pull everything out of your purse. You got to use wisdom and knowledge when you do these things, because some people are out there, and the enemy does set up traps to take his people down. Well, the word of God does go on and talks about the pastor. He talks about the shepherd and the teacher. He talks about the pastor teacher, those who are special ministers and teaching the word to the body of Christ. The apostle can do all functions of these callings. This is what I'm saying. When I first started my ministry, I had to do every one of them because I was doing what you call a pioneering. I was setting the church up. I didn't have the ability to work in the full office of the prophet. I didn't have the full ability to work in the full office of a teacher. I didn't have the full office to work in the area of a pastor. My job and my role, as I speak to you right now, I am an authorized and certified evangelist. But I walk in the area of apostolic ship. I can walk in the area of a prophet. I can walk in. Remember, I'm saying I'm walking in the area. I didn't say I'm in the office of. But my office is the office of evangelism. The most powerful part of the ministry is to go out and spread the word. Jesus performed the very power of the ministry through his evangelism and going out and healing the sick. The Bible declares in John 15 that they came to some blind, lame, sick, and afflicted. When you look at Matthew 15, he talks about that process. So we got to understand that the purpose of the gifts are called to equip the saints for the ministry, to edify the body, not individual, the body, till we all come together in what we say, Psalms 1:3, the unity of faith and acknowledging of what the Son of God, not individuals, but the Son of God. Well, let's move on here and let's continue to go through this. I don't want to move too fast for the sake of time. We may not get the chance to finish the whole fourth chapter today, but we're going to try our best to do what God has to do. I wonder if I'm doing okay with everybody. I'm quite sure everybody gives a hands up, but I want to stop here before I get into verse 13, and I want to bring in my co-pastor, Patty Ellis, what words does she need to speak on in terms of what we're teaching up to this point, because she has to add, she always add in something that brings a power pack of this teaching to fruition. Co-pastor Patty Ellis, I'm about to light you up. You're on the air as of now.
Amen. You had mentioned something. You'd mentioned the scripture of at the beginning of chapter 4 in Ephesians, where the Lord says that I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation which you are called. When we're brought into salvation, we come to the point where we're ready to sacrifice. And what we're saying here, what the verse is saying here, is that now that you've been called, there's some things that you need to do. You need to be humble. You need, and it goes on to say about that you have to, there's meekness, there's long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That the pastor also had mentioned earlier that do your part. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. We have a tendency to do that when we get into the body of Christ. We start looking at what everybody else is doing. And the scripture is telling us to stay in your lane, be steadfast. Look at what you're doing. Sometimes when we get into the church, we visit many, many churches, and we fellowship with different churches. We have friends that are pastors and first ladies of the church. And there's a lot of different churches that we go to. Well, when you tend to go to a church for the first time, you're looking around and you're seeing the people. But what we get stuck as followers, we start, when we're in the church, we still are looking at the people. We're still pointing. It's so easy to focus on other people and other things, but you have to remember that that's a distraction, those things are. That the enemy works to distract you and to get you away from what you are called to do. And as followers of Christ, we have to be attentive to what the Lord wants us to do. He wants each one of us. Each one of us is gifted. Each one of us has the Lord has a plan for each one. And when we get outside of that, when we get distracted and we start focusing on other things, it takes us away from what the Lord had called us to do. And another very, very strong thing that the pastor had said earlier, and I want to just recall this, is that you're not being effective when you don't have a prayer life. You're getting the instructions. When you're in a prayer life, you're getting to the point where it's quiet and you're away from the distractions and you're listening to the Lord's instructions. We're getting those pointers from the Lord. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the guide of our life and everything that we do. So as followers of Christ, we have to be very purposeful in what we do, what we hear, to make sure that we're not around the distraction in order to be effective. Amen?
My mic was off. I wanted to get back, and I said, you know, when you look at the Word of God in Jeremiah 29:11, God, sometimes we get delay on the system, and we know we work right through it, because we know the enemy is always trying to come against us. But what the Word of God declares, that no weapon, it ain't nothing that could ever be formed, nothing of any type that could come against what God declared for this ministry to be. I mean, it's unstoppable. We move like a tank. And it ain't got to be inside no walls or no building either. I'm talking about the power of the Spirit. But when it was the Word of God, you read the Word of God over Jeremiah 29:11, it makes it so clear that he said, I know the plans. When you can get that in your spirit, that God knows your plan, despite of the haters, despite of the people who try to get you fired on your job, despite of the people who put you outside the walls of what they call their building, you know, in the Durham. As a matter of fact, when you read the book of Mark 13, he talks about every one of these stones going to fall anyway. He gives a prophetic utterance that even with us as men, God, we build these great monumental structures that we ain't going to take them with us. Yeah, we leave a legacy behind that will soon one day crumble. But what God said, the plan that he has for your life is not physicality, it's spiritual. That when he sees you, he knew you when he formed you, according to Jeremiah 1:5. He said the plan has already been orchestrated. It's been genetically engineered and designed the property. It cannot fail. It won't fall. I like what he says over in the book of Numbers 23:19-21. He said, am I God? And that stops it right there. Am I God? And you can read the rest, but first you got to understand the part, the God part, the creator of the universe. See, when you go outside your doors, you just look around you, you can see the creation of the power of God all around. You need to read the Bible. Even though you read the Word of God, you can see the structure, the power of God even around you, even when you're sitting there right now sucking air, and you don't even see it. The Word of God declares, according to Hebrews 11, he said, for the things that are seen are unseen. For those things that you see a temple. No, I can't see the air, but I'm believing God by faith that everything he gave me in the air, that I may live according to the will and the purpose and the power of God, that I got the ability, according to Romans 4:17, to direct my life, that means to call things into existence, that what I don't see, why am I have faith for something that I can't see? God wants you to believe him, that even when you're in a desperate situation, he got the ability to bring you up, which brings us over to verse 13 of Ephesians 4:13. He says that we all come together in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Let me show you something. Let me make it clear to you. Verse 13. I want you to go over to the book of John. Flip over to the book of John, St. John. We're talking about the Gospels of St. John. I want to show you a prophetic word. When God begins to speak that word in Ephesians 4:13, he comes over to John. Let's go over to John 14, and let's look at John 14. As you turn with me, I want you to see with this. When he sent forth his Son, listen to this promise that he made in the Spirit. He said it like this in verse 10. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the work. I say the Holy Spirit is going to do the work. The Bible said, greater than he that's in you than he that's in the world. He goes on in verse 11 and says, believe it that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the work's sake. In other words, he's going to show you You may not be a believer, but all you got to do is look around. You'll see the works and what his Father done. That he came in the replication to understand and make you realize that God is the creator of the universe, and I come to represent him and back him up in what he said. As a matter of fact, he says in the Hebrews 12, he said, I'm the author and the finisher of faith, and I'm designed and engineered. I'm clothed in human flesh, but I'm walking in the spirit to prove to you that the works that my Father do through me, you can do also. Am I speaking to anybody on tonight? But he goes on in verse 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me also, he said, who that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now look what he says. Now the greater works than he shall do, because I what? I go to my Father. God has given you every plan according to godliness. He gave you the ability to believe that when you speak something out of your mouth and your sack of your soul begin to declare that word, I'm telling you, it will come to full term. He goes on and speaks over in verse 14. He says that he said that we henceforth no longer, listen what he's saying. I'm going to line this up, and I want you to hear this. He said, henceforth that we no longer as children toss to and fro, carried away with every doctrine by with every sleet. Listen what he said, every sleet of man in the cunning and craftiness whereby he lie and wait for deceiving. People come to deceive you all the time. Now he said, henceforth, you can't continue to do that anymore. Now that you walk in the spirit, you got to believe in John 4:24. That he says, according to the word of God in the book of James 1:8, he said, if your mind double-minded, then that's that you think you receive anything. You can't be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and walk in the kingdom of God. Even though you don't see the things that's happening before you, God said you got to have faith to believe and understand that what you don't see has got the ability to come to full term. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the hope. He said, got to have the hope and the faith to know that when you speak something out of your mouth, even though you don't see it come to term, you got to know, and you got to know that to know that it's through God that everything and all things are possible. If it's just in your mind, as I said before, it's not efficacious. Because you got to speak out of your mouth, and you got to be able to declare the word of God according to the Spirit. That when you utter words out of your mouth, there's a realm that you speak it into. Speak negativity, well, I'm sick, well, guess what? Even though you feel it physically, you got to be spiritually that you delivered from that. Or I got a disease that the doctor said, well, you can back that up with the book of over in the book of Isaiah 53:1. He said, who told you that? In other words, the word of God declares, who has believed that report? And who has the arms of that report been revealed? This is why the word of God tells you that you are henceforth no longer as children. You're not threw around by everything that somebody throw at you. Your job is to understand that you got to get in the word. And you got to believe the word and what it says and to be able to study it, to show yourself approved. That a workman, see, you're the workman. You're an example of the beacon system walking in the midst of what we see, the demonic realm, which is the earth system. But God has declared through the model prayer, and he said that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that the kingdom come. That means the word of God said, as my Son came forth and brought forth the word over in the book of John, over there in that 14:10, he said, look, if you don't believe that the Father sent me, believe me for the works that I do. In other words, all you soothsayers, all you people who keep on saying something's not right, and you land and you got ailing and you got pain in your body, you got things that are hurting you all over. But even though you got the physical feeling, now God said you got to believe in the spirit, that got the ability to deliver you. In other words, I ain't saying that you ain't got to go to the doctor. And I ain't saying that you can't believe that the word of God is put into the people to get you to understand that you don't believe it from the healing, but through the mind of the education he gave them. It's amazing. How there once was women who were unbearing that couldn't have children. And we talk about that in our church. The women who said they were unbearing that couldn't have children, we prayed for them. And all of a sudden, you got kids popping up everywhere, like popcorn. And all of a sudden, you got to tell them to slow down for a minute. Because God has gave men the ability to bring forth that particular type of incubation. But you don't believe the man for here because God gave him the gift to be able to do and discern the work on what he already genetically engineered and created. The word of God speaks a prophetic word over in the book of 1 Peter 1:3. He talks about, I gave you every yield-bearing seed that pertained to what? The godliness. Everything that's on this earth has been designed that man took it in this position to be able to cultivate it. Now they begin to peddle it for funds and money. But God say, I hear the word of God telling me that every free gift is a gift of God. And you got to understand the free gift comes through your praying and
believing God for whatever it is that you need in your life. Can I move forward here for a minute before we close it down here? He goes on and speaks in verse 15. He says, I speak the truth in love, may grow into him in all things who is in head, even Christ. And look what it says. But speaking the truth in love, you got to have love, may grow up into him in all things who is to the head of Christ. Meaning everything you do, you got to filter through the Holy Spirit. That you ain't got the ability to hold anything to the point to say, I did anything. You got to filter through the Holy Ghost. The Word of God, your mind has got to be like a sponge. You got to be absorbed the Word of God, not in the educational memory as you study for a test, but God say into your spirit. Then your spirit identifies with the words that you put in. That's why you got to feed your spirit. That when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you'll speak things that you know you never spoke before. In other words, the Word of God says in the book of Corinthians, I will give you an indescribable word in the name of Jesus. He goes on in verse 16. He said, for whom the whole body is fitted jointly together. Now this is where you got to catch this, because this takes you back up to verse 11. The gifts that he gives some apostles, pastors, and teachers, and evangelists. He said the body is fitted together. Every gift comes together to impact the part of even the joint, the subject according to the effectual work of the merging of the part that make it increase of the body into the edifying of love. Everything has got to be unified. Everything has got to come through the Spirit. There's nothing outside that ever can come together to the point where God has got it to be. You got to believe that through the Word of God, that what he's telling you in this season that you're in. I don't care what it looked like in your life. I don't care what they said about you. So you just can't keep going to church and set up and then do routine all over again. So what you got to understand that when you go in the body of Christ, you got to look and believe that signs, wonders, and miracles have got the ability to fall up in that house. You never going up in church every Sunday to hear the pastor preach. Am I talking to anybody? I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty because I'm going to get real there. I'm going to shut this thing down. Because you don't go up in this house to see the pastor preach. You just don't come to see the choir sing. You don't come to see somebody just spit scripture or see somebody just sit there and just do the dance ministry. You come in to see the power of God move in demonstration. And this is why you understand that the leaders in your house have got to perform the miracles and the power of God. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord dwells, that was signs, wonders, and miracles will be there. How many times we go in the church of God and all we hear is the pastor preach something and we hear the choir sing and we take up offering and then we say a few words to edify ourselves and then we walk out the door and then we go to the nearest diner and we stuff ourselves to death with a couple of meals or some biscuits in our mouth and we get right back up and do the same thing on Wednesday night and we get right back up and do the same thing on Sunday morning? How many times you going to keep on going to church for routine? If you can't understand that Christ is trying to show you something. He said, but those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And where the Spirit of the Lord dwells, that the power of God is coming to deliver you from every demonic force, every unhealed issue in your body. The man of God before you ain't got the ability to know that through power of God has got you to discern in the spirit that there's something going on in your life. And he don't know how to come and lay hands on you. And he said he will heal the sick. And he would deliver and cast out demons in my name. You got a problem there. You've been going to church 6 years, 8, 9 years in one place. And you ain't got a move yet for what you've been praying about. And all you simply sit there and saying, and oh, I'm just going to believe God. No, you got to get you some wisdom. And the Bible says because you got a 500 or 400 credit score, you just can't pray to God and ask God to send you money to your front door. You got to have a man of God that got designed plans to send those who are in the world into your church with the ability to show you how to get your credit together, how to get your marriage together, how to get your finances in place, that you may receive that what God has had, because the Word of God declares and decrees it just like this. He said the blessings are laid up in the hands of the wicked. There's some CEO out there. There's some financial CFO out there that know how to do everything according to to get your credit where it needs to be. But the man of God who don't stay on his knees and only study for a few minutes and the first thing he do is get before the pulpit and speak a word that he speaks, no, the power of God said you got to come in and speak a word that it may bring the power of the presence of the Spirit in it, that it may be delivered, that it may people who are in bondage may be delivered for whatever it is that's in their life. No, you just can keep on going for church every day. You get up every day in church and you shouting what a man of God who's speaking. Then you go back home and you got the devil all up in you. No, you can't keep doing that. There's got to be a change that's going to come in your life. You got to treat your husband right. You got to treat your kids right. You got to treat people right in your job. You got to believe God that what you lack and that he gave you the wisdom to be able to go out and get that what you need to get yourself back on side that you would receive the benefits of the world. The problem that we got as man and woman of God, we got all of this stuff, all this faith, but we ain't got no building, we ain't got no business, we ain't got no old folk home center, we ain't got no banks, we got all these structures of churches all around, and we're all dwelling in one place, and we ain't got not now, bank now, old folk home, no park, no nothing, nowhere. But we sit up in the house of God every day believing that God is going to do something for us because you ain't moving. James says, show me a man that said he has faith without works, and I show you a man faith is dead. You got to move in the spirit for God to do something in your life. You just can't keep on hanging around the plane, merry-go-round, hanging around the road and believing something that you know that ain't got the ability to already move, that it should have been done in your life before you even got into the house of God because of the faith that you have. Some of these men of God need to walk in the office in which they are called. Quit standing out there before a monkey suits on for somebody to look at you. And all of a sudden, you get a shout in the fall, you on the ground, and you up in the, you get back up off the ground, you out in the parking lot smoking a cigarette, cussing somebody out. And God watching everything you doing behind closed doors. Somehow, you got to work on something here. I'm talking to somebody out there, but you may not want to hear what I'm saying because somebody, I'm putting a shame in somebody's game that you're finna stop the process just coming to the house and just paying for a building. That you need to understand that your ministry got to go beyond the mark of just four walls. You got to get out and evangelize the word of God. You got to get out there and do some apostolic settings. You got to go out to the old folks' homes. You got to go to the emergency centers. You got to take your pulpit to the streets and begin to preach the word of God. You got to learn how to delegate. You got to learn how to move in the spirit that when the fire of God fall off, you're to move like whirlwind. The word of God declares and decrees over in Acts 1 and 8, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. How many of y'all receiving power? How many of y'all gave a prophetic word 3 years ago? If you can sow this much money in the church, then God's going to give you a gift. No, quit lying to the people and teach them, women of God, that they're going to give $1,000, give $1,000 to bring somebody to help them how to get their finance together. And teach the people who got GEDs how they can get education and get jobs and how to fill out a resume. The average young man or woman don't know anything about the first process of even living a life right now today because they're lost. The only thing they know is to get out there and mingle with one another. Then they got a kid over there and a kid over there, and all of a sudden the system comes into play. And when the system comes into play, then they use the government to go against your own brothers and sisters. And the Bible declares over in that verse 1 and 2, he tells that you got to do things in love and meekness. Quit letting the system use you. And begin to ask your pastor, the man of the God of church, we need to bring some systems in here because they can teach our young people how to walk upright. And we may continue to teach them to walk in all lordliness and love and long-suffering. Teach them how to be able to stand still in the midst and not be anxious for nothing, but do all things with prayer and supplication. I don't know about you, but I know God has got a word on today. If you missed it today, you'd have missed everything because God is trying to show you something in the spirit. Well, we're getting ready to wrap this show up, and I tell you what, I said we wasn't able to finish it, but I want you to mark your Bibles for the rest of the show coming on next Thursday. I might go in a Tuesday setting, depends, you know, how our taping going with our new area of our video, and if I got time, I will notify most of you all who are on the line, or I probably have numbers on there, or anyway, that we're getting ready to open up on a Tuesday night show, or it would be by Facebook or email or something to come out, and we'll let you know what we're going to be doing on this Tuesday coming into play. But we want you to know that the lines are now open for anybody who have something to say concerning this particular message on tonight. Any information you want to ask me as pastor or co-pastor, you can do so. So we're going to open your lines up. I see I got one person. I don't know. They've been stuck on this thing for almost 30 minutes, and I appreciate their wait. And they had 575, and I'm just going to click their button and see if they have anything to say concerning the show on tonight and the teaching that just went forth. 575-312, you on the air.
Hello, Pastor and First Lady. I just want to say God bless you both. Awesome feeding word. My spirit needed to be fed, and I just want to say thank God and I miss you guys, and hopefully, Lord willing, I will see you this Sunday, and thank you so much for the word. Just what I was taught from the beginning when God first laid the foundation, and it's just refreshing.
Your voice don't sound familiar. I ain't going to get you to say nothing, but I don't want everybody to know who you are, you know, it's on the line, but your voice don't sound familiar. Maybe if by that familiar sound, we thank you for coming on the line and being a part of the show as always, and we thank you that the word can be some of help to you or some enlightenment in your life that, you know, you continue to not, you know, as it says in the book of Ephesians 4, not to be tossed, but have some solid direction in where you're going. But also we have no comments, 423. I don't know if they want to come on or light up the line. I'll light them up. A woman of God at 575, we thank you. And hopefully we get a call from you later on. We get a little bit more in detail or who, because the voice sounds very familiar, very familiar. But I'm going to go to 432 and see if they would have anything to say, because this number is on the line all the time. I just want to know if they want me to fire them up, and it's 432. If you have anything to say, you're on the air, you're on the mic. You can say something if you like. You hear almost every time we come on the line, but your line is now open, 432-7277. Okay, 432-277. If you want to have something to say, you can go right ahead. All right. God bless you. We appreciate you as always. We see you on the line. We see you coming in. But I want to bring it back over to the co-pastor and let her tell us out, because we got many more on the line, but we got them mostly in the archives and the internet side of the radio, and that's fine. Most people are kind of radio shy, but we're okay with that. But First Lady, the word is in your hand as we get ready to close out and pray in the name of Jesus.
Before we close out in prayer, I just wanted to encourage all of you, just not if you haven't given your life over to Christ, that you need to continue to get close to Him. You need to develop a relationship with the Lord. The Lord is just an awesome guide in your life. Takes you through good times, takes you through bad times, but most importantly, guides you through life. Amen. Our Heavenly Father is so incredibly awesome. He has done things that are just magnificent in our life as a family, as pastors, as just leaders in the community. And I couldn't imagine my life without Christ. But continue just to be prayerful, not only for yourself, but of the ministry as we continue to grow and grow in the ministry, grow in the community, and allow us to be able to help other ministries and to bring more people into the kingdom. But I just want to encourage you all just to stay plugged in. We talked about that last time. Stay plugged into the Lord. Amen?
When you push that number one button on the line, for those who are in the fourth, my mic is kind of cutting back and forth for me. I just, you know, apologize for that delay in there. But the number at 423-277, your mic is open. You can come in. You're hot if you want to have something to say. We got you on the line. We see you just come in here a second ago. So your mic is now open to be able to comment. It's 4.
Good evening, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
This is Pat Pickens from Saginaw, Michigan. Yes,
amen.
I'll be on the line. God bless you and co-pastor. I'll be on the line every time that you're on the air, and been getting a lot of feeding off of your teaching in Ephesians, and it's just a thirst, a hunger to see what the Lord has for my life and in store for me. Through your teaching, and every time you come on, I learn something new. Like the free gift comes from God. Every gift that we have is a gift from God that we could bless others with our gift that we have. So I just want to say that I really enjoy the messages that you bring on the program, and also like the two on the Tuesday day of you praying and preaching. That was very interesting, and got to see who this man is behind this radio station. But I just want to say God bless you and co-pastor. And like I said, I get a lot of wisdom out of what you say, and it helps through the week to just grow and grow stronger in God's word. And plus the scriptures that you give us that we can go back and read after the broadcast, or we can study during the week. It just, you know, just helps feed the soul. Just helps you to keep in on track with the Lord. So, but I be online every time you be on. That's why I be hot. But anyway, God bless you.
God bless you as well. Well, as I said before, you know, we're into the broadcast to the point that, you know, we're coming to the end of the show. And, you know, and as we come to the end of the show, we always, you know, and anything else I do, from the time we first started this ministry, Women's Women God, we always offer a word of salvation. You know, sometimes you go to most churches, they offer a word of salvation. But I'm telling you, when we say this, this thing has got to illuminate in your spirit. And it's not just a word that you just hear. It's a word to bring the illumination, the power of God, the presence, to make him designed to do what he needs to do in your life. Now, the word of God is going to our prayer offering here, offering the life of prayer. And I said before anybody, you know, you may already been saved, but it's good for you to know this. So when you're out in the malls or you're out in the highways, wherever you may be, it's good for you to know the prayer of salvation that you can offer onto others. I mean, baby, walk up to somebody, you love the Lord, God bless you. You know, if you're willing to be saved, you love God, and you're willing to give your life to Christ right here and now. And when you offer them the word of God, and they might be in the midst of a situation where they don't know what they are. They might be in the midst of drinking. They might be in the midst of in the area of prostitution, fornication. It doesn't matter what area they're in. Your job is to know that the word of God purifies, it transforms, it changes. And that's why he speaks according to the book of Corinthians 2 and 17. He talks about the person, if any man to be in Christ, he's a new creature. So while you develop a man to be a new creature in Christ, you got to realize that when you bring forth the word to that individual or that particular family, a husband, whoever it may be, you got to know the prayer of salvation, that God loves the sinner. You know, he know that sin separated them from him, that Jesus died for they may have the right to that tree of life, that they may receive Jesus and know that God really loves them. And, you know, he talks about in Romans 10:8-9 about the confession. Well, you know, it's a very familiar scripture, the confession with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord. But then there's another thing for you to actually walk in it. Most of us, when we have in the body of Christ, we can quote scriptures back to back. We got a plethora of scriptures we can quote. But our system, to the point of where we are, we can't walk right. We've been bombarded by different trips and tangles, roller coasters up and down, back and forth, in and out, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And we find ourselves entangled in situations we don't know how to come out of, and we call on the Lord. Well, Lord said, you know, I'm not like the man. I'm not like the women. Now, I'm not going to lie to you according to Numbers 4, Numbers 23:19-21. I'm not going to lie to you. If I say I love you, I love you. It's my will to now one be plucked out. So he said, when you pray the prayer out loud, remember, once saved, always saved. And this is one people contradicts this. Why? Because what people do say, I thought you were saved. They want to point their finger at you. But I heard the word of God to that woman of God who was caught in the midst of adultery, forced in the midst of adultery. And he stood up before he rolled his hand on the ground. There had been the Pharisees, the Sadducees began to come against him. The man of God spoke a prophetic word. He said, anybody without sin cast the first stone. Every one of them dropped their rocks one by one and walked away. And this is what Jesus replies according to that word. The prayer of faith, or the prayer of salvation, and he says, it will release that what the enemy's tried to hold you by. It snaps the pins. It breaks the glass roof. It takes you to a new category. It takes you to a new level of faith. Paul talks about the third heavens over in the book of Corinthians. He talks about the process where he was able to utter and see things that no man was able to utter. And when he came out from that realm, he began to be mesmerized by the power of God and what he's able to do in your life. You too can be mesmerized by the power of God when you pray this prayer along with me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. I open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins. And you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, amen. Now notice when I say this, you know, if you truly receive this word, your job is to direct sinners not to the aisles of the church building, but this message is designed for you to direct them to the kingdom of God that they may be saved. Now, the word of God does it declare and decree that, you know, it's good for man to dwell together in unity. But when you go into a house of unity, whatever it may be, 400, 200, one person, three person, four person, your job is to understand what your mission is. Your job is designed to know that when you go into the house of God, you don't fall in the category of Ephesians 14. The Bible says once you confess the word of God and you understand according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says now Ephesians 4:17 comes in full effect. You're not tossed around anymore by anything. You're led according to John 4:24. You're led by the Spirit. You're walking in what we call your vocation, as he speaks about. And when you go over the book of Ephesians, over in the first verse, he said, therefore being a prisoner, now you're a prisoner of Christ. You know, I beseech you, brother, that you are worthy of vocation, because the enemy tries to do, once you get outside the bonds of the enemy, now what he designed to do is, brother, break in where you are. But I hear the word of God saying you will set what the alarm system that will activate any angelic ram, any negative force, and you got the ability through the power of God to disdain, destroy, and set on every form, of every fashion, of every satanic force, every witchcraft, every feces, every chaldean, every powder, every blood, everything that got to deal with any form of control. You have got the ability, according to the Spirit of God, Romans 4, matter of fact, Romans 12:1, you got the ability to transform your mind. But Romans 4:17 said you got to call it. And when you call it, you got to believe, according to the word of God, that that's not anything formed against you, no weapon of any sort that you cover now, according to Ephesians 1:21. He said, far above every one of them, every one of those princes, every one of those palaties, every one of those things that try to come against you to make you feel opposite, God declares a word according to the kingdom that you are now free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. We come to pray at the end of this prayer that, Father God, as you begin to release your angelic forces, the power of the Spirit to begin to flow, Lord, send your seraphims to every one of the homes of every individual, Father God. We pray for the police forces, Father God. We pray for the governors. We pray for the House, the White House, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We declare that every teacher be covered by the blood, every student, Father God, every mother, every son, every boy, every child, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we speak according to every disease and sickness that try to encamp over anybody's body, Father God, whether it be mentally, whether it be physically, whether it be eternally, Father God. We loose it in the name of Jesus. We wrap it in the blood chains of Jesus. And we direct and we declare and we decree and we rise up to take over the very atmosphere in which we're in that's calling those forces to be around us. Father God, we take the word of God as an axe and lay it to every root, every proclivity, every subverted thing that ever tried to come against our life, Father God, that we speak with the edification through the power, that we utter the words through the Spirit, as we speak out, Father God, the illumination of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit will dwell so heavy like dew that it'll fall upon us to be the prostate in our position to be to call on you, Father God, like you got a hearing aid, that you may hear us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare the word and I decree it. And I speak according to the power, according to the purpose, according to the Spirit, that this word that you release tonight, Father God, be a word to leave a mark in the lives of every individual. These things I'm asking not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. I decree it, it got to come forth. I declare it's already done through the power of God. And these things I say, Father God, would not go back void, but it would accomplish all that in therein. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I call it been done. In these precious and powerful and mighty names I pray, Lord, amen. Well, as I said once before, this is Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church. I'm going to leave you with this word. We need a binding. She says, I don't mind waiting. Don't mind waiting on the Lord. So we're going to believe that when you hear this song, if you don't get off the line too early, just catch a segment of it. You know, so quick to release the line. Sometimes you just got to marinate in the Spirit. You got to hear what this woman of God is saying about, you know, I don't mind waiting. The Bible said be patient. You know, have patience. Don't be so quick. Hear what the Word had to say. Another good meal, you want to set back. You want to absorb a little bit before you just run off the line. You know, just kind of just hear a little bit of it. Just hear what you have to say. But God bless each and every one of you for joining us here at the Power to Harvest Blog Talk Radio program. And we hope to see you guys, hopefully, if not Tuesday, for to finish this message out, hopefully on Thursday. But God bless you. We love you. And take care.
Whatever you're in tonight, you can come out. You say, sister, how do I get out? Praise your way out. Can I get somebody to praise your way out? You might be sitting next to somebody that may not need a miracle, but tell them I have an emergency. I gotta praise my way out. Oh, glory. Come on, I tried it and it worked. I tried it and it worked. He breaks every fetter. That's why I don't care how long it takes. I don't mind waiting. Now, I don't think you heard what I said. I don't care how long it takes. If it takes him 20 years, because the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So guess what? I'm not just waiting on God. I'm waiting in God. Because I know he holds my destiny. And the Bible said he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come out. Somebody just start shouting if you know that he's making a way for you to come out. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Early one morning in 5 a.m. prayer, I had finished the prayer on Tuesday morning, and I had raised the sacrificial offering, and the presence of the Lord filled the room. And I was going through a mighty trial at the time, and the Spirit of the Lord dropped these words and this song in my spirit, and I just started singing. And it has become my anthem. And when I can't see my way out of a situation, and the devil trying to make me frustrated because it looks like God ain't moving, I turn around and tell the devil I don't mind waiting. Somebody just start shouting that. Shout it back in the face of the enemy. Let the devil know that whatever you tried, it ain't gonna work because I don't mind waiting. Companions.